We are going to try to finish up the series that we have been... Did I tell you to turn to Hebrews 10? Hebrews 10. We've been in a series entitled, How to Come to the House of God. And the first message was, come to the house of God prepared for worship. And then we started looking at the kind of attitudes that we need to come to the house of God with if we are truly going to worship the Lord in spirit and truth and be pleasing in His sight. And so when we've covered, come to the house of God with reverence and respect. Number two, with joy and thanksgiving. Number three, being led of the Holy Spirit and under His submissive to His teaching and leadership. Number four, come with enthusiasm and anticipation, expectation. And then number five, with a desire to grow in grace. All very practical things. Now today, I'm going to try to finish this up. But we need to come to the house of God desiring to be a blessing to others. Look here in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 22. It says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. Verse 24, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. So you see, part of proving our profession is not only having our hearts right, our conscience clear, holding fast this profession also involves us having a desire to be a blessing to one another, to provoke unto love and unto good works. Let us consider one another. If you're a member of one of the Lord's churches, you are an integral part of the body of Christ. You've entered into covenant with that body, endeavoring to serve the Lord with other like-minded believers, striving to carry out the Great Commission. You're part of something bigger than yourself. And as such, we have to view faithful church attendance and worship as an important way that we can encourage, edify, and challenge one another as we serve the Lord together. One key of proving our profession is found here in verse 24, provoking unto love and unto good works. When you come to the house of God, remember that each member has a responsibility to contribute to the well-being of the body as a whole. Everybody plays an integral part. Everybody's important. It's not just the preacher. It's not just those that lead the singing or pray or teach a class. Every member of the body, everybody's important. And when church members are faithful, it provides an example to others. It is a source of great encouragement when everyone is gathered in unity to worship the Lord. I know it encourages me. I know it blesses my heart when I see you in the house of God, when I'm able to fellowship with you, when you come eager to learn the truth of God's Word. There's something special about that. And it's so vital, so important to the well-being of our church family. We need to be committed to the Lord, to one another, and to His church. And we need to do what pleases God first and foremost. As a member of the Lord's church, I have a holy duty to be an example, to be an encouragement to others. And every one of us here, we ought to consider how our behavior affects other people. How does my testimony, how does my measure of service, my level of commitment, how does that affect other people? Are we faithful? Are we cheerful? Are we thankful? Are we loving? Are we kind? You see, we've got a responsibility one to another. Think about this. Turn over to Philippians chapter 2. I've often said, what would our church be like if every member were just like you? Or if every member were just like me? Now, you may think really highly of yourself because you didn't listen to Brandon's Sunday school lesson. That one kind of humbled us all down, tamped us all down. Because we do get prideful about our level of service. But I've often thought, what is my example? How is it affecting other people? And because the Bible, Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he said, follow me as I follow the Lord. Look what Paul says in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. These admonitions ought to motivate every member of the Lord's church to come to the house of God with a sincere desire to be an encouragement, a help, a blessing to one another. Your presence may be a source of comfort to another member. Your well-timed words of encouragement to one who is struggling may be the very tonic that they needed at that time. And every time we assemble for worship, we are expressing publicly our love for the Lord Jesus, who is the head of this church, who commands us to assemble, who has made everything possible for us to come together. We're expressing our love for Him, and according to Hebrews chapter 10, also for one another. So don't underestimate the importance of simply being faithful to the house of God. You can be a great source of encouragement, a great source of blessing. And we're also demonstrating that we are committed and unified as a body of Jesus Christ. The Bible talks about what a pleasant and joyful sight when God's people dwell together. In Psalm 133 and verse 1, "Behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." So when you come to the house of God, don't just think of yourself. You're coming, yes, because you've got a responsibility to God. But you also have a responsibility to this body of believers that the Lord has placed you in, to be faithful, to be an encouragement, to be a help, to be a blessing. We ought to look for ways in this body to exercise our gifts to be a blessing, an encouragement, and a help to one another. Not everybody can teach, but everybody can pray. Everybody can be cheerful. Even Doug. He can be cheerful at times. Mostly during hunting season, though. I'm just kidding. But when we come to the house of God, this is something more important than just what pleases me or what pleases you. It's what pleases God. And we need to be united together in carrying out the Great Commission. We've got a huge undertaking, a huge responsibility. All right? Then we need to come to the house of God with the aim of exalting and praising God. When you came this morning, did you come with the idea that I'm going to praise God today? I'm going to exalt His name. I'm going to have an attitude that when I come into the house of God, my heart's going to be set upon Him, to honor Him, to rejoice in Him, to praise Him. As you prepare to come to the house of God, determine to allow nothing to hinder your praise and your exaltation of God. After a week of being bombarded by the cares of the world and by the difficulties of life, don't let those things distract you from the grand purpose that awaits you when you come to God's house. Turn over to Psalm 34 in verse 1. Let's endeavor to resolve to be like the psalmist here. Put yourself in his shoes. Assume this position. He said, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord, the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together." How powerful it would be if every one of us would come to God's house with these attitudes, these emotions. What a powerful worship service we would all enjoy if our hearts were truly knit together in sincere praise for the God of all grace, to praise Him for who He is, to praise Him for His sovereign grace, to praise Him for His presence and power in our lives. Praise Him as we come to the house of God for all the family and all the friends that He's blessed you with. Praise Him for the infallible truth that we find in His Word. Praise Him for the promises that He's freely given and for His grace that sustains you. Praise God for who He is, for what He's done, for what He is doing. On we could go. If only our hearts were truly focused and fixed on praising our God. Here's what a couple of the old Puritans said about praise. Thomas Watson said, "Praise is a soul in flower. Praising God is one of the highest and purest acts of religion. In prayer, we act like men. In praise, we act like angels." John Boyce said, "The servants of the Lord are to sing His praises in this life to the world's end, and in the next life, world without end." Thomas Manton said, "Self-love may lead us to prayers, but love to God excites us to praises." I've been saved for 39 years, and I've heard many dear brethren through the years make this statement that worshiping in God's house, coming to the house of God, is a foretaste of the glories of heaven. I've heard preachers say during a really spirited, powerful service that this is the closest thing we have to heaven on earth, is when we come together to worship and praise and exalt our God. And if we really believe that, then we will offer the praise that's due our Lord. You know, that's what we're going to be doing throughout all eternity. When you come to God's house, do your dead level best not to allow the cares of this life, the trials that you're going through, the pressures that you're under, the distractions of what you're planning on doing in the coming week. Do your best to focus. Because throughout eternity, we're going to spend our time praising God. They said this in Revelation 5 and verse 12, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto Him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever." And the four beasts said, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped Him that liveth forever and ever. Now, I want to make some practical applications to this series that we've done in closing. Number one, let us endeavor to be more aware of what God expects out of us when we come to His house for worship. He's worthy of our best effort, of our complete dedication. So when we come to the house of God, may we do it with a single eye that is consecrated to honoring the Lord. Colossians 3 says this, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Verse 23, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. Let's get serious about serving our God with a true heart, with focus, and with the putting forth of our very best that we have to offer. Number two, may we also truly give a sacred preeminence to attending God's house on the Lord's Day. Attending the Lord's church on the Lord's Day ought to be viewed as a holy command that should be carried out with cheerful obedience. It's an honor. It is a privilege to worship the Lord. And the world and all its pleasures ought not to keep us from the house of God. I can guarantee you that you will never be sorry for being faithful in attending God's house. Let's renew our commitment to the Lord, to His church, and to one another to be faithful and to put Him first. David said this in Psalm 84, verses 10 and 11, for a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. Do you believe that a day in His courts is better than a thousand? I've heard preachers say when they got up to preach that they'd rather be here today than in jail. Yeah, that makes good sense. But I'd rather be here than anywhere. That is how I've tried to live my life for 39 years in Christian service, is to be found in my place, serving the Lord in His church, especially on the Lord's Day. And then one of my familiar little sayings. When we come to the house of God, let's always remember that little eyes are watching us. Our children and our grandchildren are constantly monitoring our behavior and our attitudes. Children from other families are also watching. We need to be careful that they see us joyfully and faithfully attending God's house. They need to see us, an example of us being kind one to another, being caring one for another, compassionate to one another. We must be committed to teaching our children by precept and by practice. May God stir us to provide a godly testimony of faithfulness for our children and our grandchildren to observe and to follow. Proverbs 23:23 and 26, buy the truth and sell it not, also wisdom and instruction and understanding. My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. And then finally, by way of practical application, consider for a moment how much better our worship services would be if everyone who attended God's house really applied the principles that I've been preaching on for the last 5 weeks or so. Imagine the holy transformation that would permeate our worship service. How wonderful it would be if everyone came to the house of God prepared for worship with godly attitudes that have been sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Our hearts would be lifted to new heights as we seek the Lord in prayer and praise Him in song. If we came to the house of God fully engaged, the preaching of the Word would be attended with great power in the pulpit and also in the pew. There would be a renewed interest in the things of God and a longing to draw closer to Him and a sincere desire to please Him, not just in His house, but in our lives. Coming to the house of God, if we truly make application of what's been preached, would soon become a spiritual source of delight rather than just a mere duty. I want to get to that place. I know that I have truly had these seasons in my life. When I come to the house of God, I am fully engaged. Part of it may be due because I've got to preach and I've got to make preparation. But every single one of us have to be involved. If our services, we're here to please the Lord. Jesus Christ is in our midst. He sees, hears everything we do together here. May God grant us godly desires that prompt us to truly love coming to the house of God. I don't want you coming to God's house to be just something that you view as something you've got to do. I want you to come to God's house. I believe the Lord does too. Because you love God and you desire to know more about Him and to worship Him and to be with other people that love Him, to worship together. It's really not any more complicated than that. And I want to be able to say like the psalmist did, Lord, I have loved the habitation of Thy house and the place where Thine honor dwelleth. Psalm 26 and verse 8. Lord, I have loved the habitation of Thy house. Let's not just come to the house of God. Let's pray for God to give us a desire to love the habitation of His house. Let's all stand.